2 minutes to go here in the first half.
That's Mookie Cooper in motion. Cook will scramble. A little mini hurdle. Stayed up inside the 10. Cook, Elway style, into the end zone. 31 yards.
Mizzou quarterback Brady Cook with an amazing run at the end of that first half yesterday. Elway style, if you want to update it, Josh Allen style. Man, these first two games are incredible. We're joined by Tom Ackerman at the Newbold BMW Toyota Sports Desk. I did my math real quick. 89-0 in the first two games in Columbia. Boy, this team looks good.
Yeah, they look good, and that's really the key, is that number zero. They have a very good defense, and I know that the competition has not been, SEC just yet, and that will come. I mean, they're going to be challenged here in this next week by Boston College, the team that beat Florida State, although the jury is out as to whether Florida State's any good. But Boston College is tough, and Bill O'Brien's a really good coach. So this will be a nice challenge for the offense and defense. But the defense has been the story to me. 51-0 over Murray State, 38-0 over Buffalo in that win yesterday. Brady Cook, Luther Burden, they are the story of the season in many people's eyes. But Corey Batoon, a terrific acquisition as the defensive coordinator, replacing Blake Baker, who Brian Kelly poached and took back to LSU. I say that in jest, of course. He just did what a lot of coaches do. They go out and get the best. And the Missouri has a very good reputation right now. It's just nice to have good college football in this area. Illinois gets a great win, beating Kansas yesterday, a ranked team. So Mizzou and Illinois looking strong, and Missouri, again, big game coming up for them against Boston College, and they're all big now. After you get past these first two, they do have to play UMass on the road. But other than that, you're looking at the SEC schedule that is going to be daunting. It always is. But Missouri looks like it's up to the challenge. I know that a lot of focus was made on its softer schedule as compared to some of its SEC counterparts. But we'll see moving forward. Nice win for Missouri last night.
Yeah, I really don't care how soft the schedule looks when you play like that. I mean, look what happened to Notre Dame yesterday, Northern Illinois. So Buffalo has traditionally been a pretty decent team. Murray State, I don't know, they're not terrible. No teams in college football, it seems these days, are so bad that they can't score a point in two games. So it does. It's big.
It's big. I don't know how. The schedule coming up for Mizzou, I think, is much more daunting. I mean, to be fair, Missouri was a 32.5-point favorite. I mean, they did what they were supposed to do. They won the game by 38 points. But it is a very impressive defense with a lot of talent that needs to stay healthy. In fact, that's really the key to most of these teams. But certainly for Missouri, which is loaded with talent, but still, if they're going to go win a national championship, let's say, for the first time, or get to the playoffs for the first time, they're going to be going toe-to-toe with the Georgias and the Ohio States and teams like that who have NFL-caliber depth all up and down their roster. Missouri's going to have to stay healthy. But it is very impressive what they've done so far. I think maybe I'm conditioned as a Missouri fan to be still cautious and not to sit there and celebrate too much.
We all
know what we're talking about. And I think that Notre Dame fans have felt the same way. That they have for a number of years been told that their team is great. You just alluded to that game yesterday. They're the fifth-ranked team in the country. I mean, I heard over and over after they beat Texas A&M, maybe not from Notre Dame fans as much, but from national media, how Notre Dame could run the table. I mean, Notre Dame has a soft schedule. They could end up running the table here. And then what happens the next week? Sometimes we do remember this is the NIL era, and these players are moving from team to team, and they're being treated now like professional athletes. They're getting paid. They do have agents in some cases, but they are kids. They are kids age 18 to 22 for the most part, and you do have to teach them that every single week you cannot believe the hype. You cannot have a letdown. You have to play full throttle at your best every single week, and the Irish just learned that lesson. Northern Illinois came in and decided, let's not go in there thinking we have to get lucky to win. Let's go play football and see what happens and play our best. And they went in, they won that game, and it was an incredible win for Northern Illinois, beating Notre Dame. What a win.
Yeah, and because of that loss, Missouri's likely to jump up a place or two in the AP Top 25. They'll probably be somewhere around 7, I'm guessing. And, of course, this year we now have the 12-team college playoff, so that's a good start for the season.
Yeah,
anyway.
They are definitely, and sorry to interrupt, yeah, they definitely are. You know, I mean, I look at some of the teams, too. I don't know how you know, the voters, there's two things going on here. One, you've got some teams above them who have looked a little shaky. You know, Notre Dame, obviously. Oregon, and Boise State's good. I want to give them credit. But Oregon hasn't looked great and dominant in its first two games. Penn State should have blown Bowling Green out of the water, but they hung in there and ended up losing by just a touchdown. Former Mizzou and Indiana quarterback Connor Bazelak is still calling signals and is for Bowling Green. Penn State ranked 8th in the country. So Missouri's got a great chance to move up here. But, yeah, I thought that it was a phenomenal day of college football. I just thought it was thrilling, unless you're a fan of Michigan or Notre Dame. That or Iowa, for that matter. That was not
a fun
day.
Was a tough one, too. But who hasn't looked shaky is Texas. Holy cow, that was a big win to go into Michigan. They won convincingly in their first game. I think it was Colorado State. They shut out. They hadn't been shut out in like a decade. So, yeah, Texas looks really good.
Yeah, they look great. Georgia and Ohio State, to me, are the top two teams, but Texas isn't too far behind. I mean, and Michigan has some work to do. They go in there and handle. And Michigan didn't look great in the first game. You know, Missouri jumped over them in the standings. Michigan did what they had to do against Fresno State, but they hardly looked dominant. And now their offense is sputtering, and Texas just handed it to them. It was actually worse than 31-12. That game was no contest for a long time. And Texas has one heck of a quarterback in Quinn Ewers. I really think that it's going to be a fascinating season. The Big Ten top teams, Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, only one of those, actually Oregon, only one of those four looked good yesterday. So, you know, does the Big Ten start to fall back a little bit with its big 18-team league? What's going to happen within the league? How good is Alabama? Alabama wins and beats South Florida. They're now 2-0. It's going to be fun. Ole Miss looks really strong through the first two games, but they really haven't played anybody. They've played Furman and Middle Tennessee. You know, I mean, it's going to be really cool to see all the shifting and jockeying for position in what should be a wild season, because everyone's trying to make that final 12.
And a nice win, a shutout as well, at Busch Stadium yesterday for the Cardinals against the Seattle Mariners.
I love that. You know, Adam Wainwright tweeted that it was one of his favorite Cardinals wins of the year. You had Kyle Gibson, who is Wainwright's good buddy. They work on the Brace for Impact Foundation together. He pitches a gem, and then the bullpen follows, and Pedro Pajes, who caught them all, hits the home run. I mean, that was like a pitcher's dream, and it just so happens that on that day, Matt Morris goes into the Cardinals Hall of Fame, and Dave Duncan, the greatest pitching coach of all time, goes into the Hall of Fame as well, and he was a former catcher. So it's neat. The Cardinals win a really nice game over the Seattle Mariners, who threw a very good pitcher in Logan Gilbert on the other side. That said, we all know that the Cardinals, you can still celebrate wins, but the Cardinals dug themselves a really big hole, and now they're 6 out of the wild card with only 20 games to go. You could sit there and rely on the Braves to be mediocre, and maybe you can catch them. And did anyone see that the Mets would end up winning 9 in a row? I mean, that's where we are. The Mets are basically saying no one's going to pass us, and they've won 9 games in a row. So they are now the number 3 wild card behind the Padres and the Diamondbacks. So the Cardinals have a steep hill to climb. All they can do, and I've been saying this for weeks, is play with pride, finish strong, and then really deeply evaluate what they are doing here as an organization and make some changes within. We've already seen one possible domino here and see what happens after that, in that Gary LaRock is retiring as the head of their player development. A wonderful man, 71 years old. He's had a great career. He's meant a lot to the organization. I'll be curious what they do with that opportunity for somebody, and then the changes that start to happen as we move forward and try to build the Cardinals back into a power.
Well, I know you like to prognosticate on the NFL. Today is the first NFL Sunday. What's your future vision for this season? Is it the Chiefs versus everybody else, or what do you see?
Well, you're not going to like this because I know you want me to pick the Bills. I love the Bills. I think the Bills are going to be right there. There's no doubt. But the AFC's loaded. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I saw Thursday night two outstanding teams. I mean, I'll tell you what. That Lamar Jackson is something else. I mean, he looks faster than he's ever been. I love that Ravens team. I thought they had a lot of guts going head-to-head with the Chiefs team that, of course, is the best team in the NFL. But I'm going to say it again. Watch out for the Cincinnati Bengals. This is the first time that Joe Burrow's been healthy to start a season in 4 years. And they think they have the pieces to make a run, and I agree. I think they will do what they have to do today against a bad Patriots team, and they'll win. And then they're going to be a threat. Now, that will fire up the Bills and the Chiefs if people start picking the Bengals like me. But I think that Cincinnati team is really good.
Well, we'll find out. Next week they play the Bengals. I mean, they play the Chiefs.
I know. Yeah. And then, you know, the other one, of course, to keep an eye on that I don't think gets a lot of hype, but they had a good year last year, is the Houston Texans. I love that coach-quarterback combo that they have. I think they have a special team. And, again, all these teams I mentioned are in the AFC.
Yeah.
The NFC, I see a lot of good teams, no doubt. And, you know, the 49ers, of course, will be hyped again. The Dallas Cowboys always get hyped, but always seem to step on their toe. They just, you know, succumb to the pressure or whatever. But it'll be fun. It'll be a fun NFL season.
Yeah. The team I like in the NFC is the Detroit Lions. They've never been to the Super Bowl. That they have a really well-rounded team.
I do,
watch
too.
Out.
They showed me a lot last year. They showed me a lot last year. But kind of like a Mizzou fan, you know, if I'm a Detroit Lions fan like Kevin Wheeler, I'm saying, shh, don't
talk about it.
But, it'll be a good season. I just love football. Yeah. I'm so glad that it's here. I stepped outside to get the paper off my driveway, and it was nice and cold out. I love it.
I do, too. Sports on a Sunday morning. What do you got?
We're loaded, as I mentioned. I'll go a little more in-depth on this as we go along here this morning to tell you about each of these people. But here's the lineup. I could win some games with this lineup. Polo Asensio, Ollie Marmol, Bill McDermott, Chris Kerber, Dan Reardon, Lutz Vandensteel, John Mozeliak, Bernie Miklas will close it out at 11:45, where he will stay on Sports on a Sunday Morning for the rest of the year and beyond. It is fun to have Bernie back on the show on KMOX.
Awesome. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, buddy.
Tom Ackerman, Sports on a Sunday Morning, coming up at 10 o'clock. Today's Cardinals game starts at 1:15, 12:20, the pregame on the Voice of the Cardinals, KMOX.